Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in everyday life. Howdy there. Bob here. We got JT way over there
way over there.
So far, I can hardly see you. I'm glad I got these glasses on, JT. But here in the middle, we have a guest of honor today,
yes.
Juliana Healy. Julie.
Yeah.
For us. Woo-hoo. We're going to call you Julie.
Welcome.
And we're kind of doing a special little podcast here around you, actually. It's so good. I loved it. I've been waiting to do this because we just felt like with our leading from the Lord was actually to just interview people, mm-hmm. find out like what's on your heart, what you do, how you do things, you know, both with the Lord, mm-hmm. always with the Lord, I suppose,
right.
but maybe in the house of the Lord, maybe out in your business. Mm-hmm. So Julie happens to be a mother, mm-hmm. a wife, a businesswoman, mm-hmm. a teacher, and a grandma. Now, if any of you are looking close on this here, you're going to say she's too young to be a grandma. And it's true. She is too young to be a grandma. I'm pretty sure you started when you were like two.
Maybe two.
Okay. Because Julie doesn't look old enough to me to be a grandma. And so God's just blessed her with youth.
Yeah,
it's so awesome. But anyway, what do you think, Julie? How are you feeling? How's things going?
I feel great. Yes. And I love being a Grammy.
It's a
wonderful place in life where, uh-huh. you know, you just get to enjoy babies all over again.
It's so great without having to actually have them or
That's
stay up
right.
all night.
That's right.
That's a great thing.
Yes.
Do they let you watch the kid?
Oh, more than let me.
Oh, you're one of those kidnap grandmas. Huh? You
sure.
go grab them.
Oh, for sure.
We'll watch the kids.
Yes.
I love it. It's wonderful being grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
It's just now I look a little more like grandfather material compared to you. Really, yeah. you do look way too
young. First I thought you said godfather, but yes, grandma.
Some of that
grand
too.
A little bit of both. Yeah.
You come yeah. to me on the my daughter's birthday anyway. You know, leave the gun, take the cannolis. So many good things in that. I try to get my movie recommendations and you know, quotes in early because
yes.
I have only one.
Oh, okay.
So,
he's gotta get his references.
Yeah, references okay. and yeah. stuff. Anyway, we wanted to just talk with you and just find out like how you do life. Like what's it about for you? And you know, because I know there's a lot of people out there that have businesses and you know, are walking with the Lord. And sometimes that's an interesting mm-hmm. balance, I would guess, you know? And so we want to just talk to you about how all that looks in life
yeah.
for you.
Okay.
How long have you been in business?
I have been a real estate agent since 2008.
Oh.
And yeah. then I opened my own business in 2016. So eight
wow.
years actually running a company on my own.
Wow.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So you're the boss.
I am. In some respects.
Yes. You're a broker, right?
Yes,
that means everything
right.
comes back to you, no matter what.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
it's funny, JT, you know, a lot of people think you have your own business. So, mm-hmm. you know, you're just great. Everything's great. Yeah. It's like, I always tell people, you know, when you're asleep, mm-hmm. I'm working.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're
That's always
true.
You're always working.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure JT has some questions, or he maybe just wants to make comments at you because we've known you for a long while here, and
sure.
you know, we're kind of like brothers and sisters here,
yeah.
just hanging out. So it's a great time.
Well, just mentioning you got into real estate in 2008. So I'm curious, what was that transition from what were you doing before to mm-hmm. then deciding to jump into real estate?
Well, prior to 2008, although I was doing some like part-time jobs, helping some friends out at their doctor's office, I was mainly an at-home mom. So 2007 is kind of when the economy crashed. I'm sure a lot of people remember that. Mm-hmm. And my husband was in the trades. So he kind of had a little precursor that things were kind of going south mm-hmm. in that area. So we started thinking about, okay, I'm going to have to like come out of just full-time stay-at-home mom mm. to being able to add to our household
right.
and try to help a little bit more than I was mm. in that area. So that looked interesting because the place that God was putting on our hearts for me to enter into was real estate. Hmm. And most of you know, too, 2008 was an interesting year to come into real estate. Most right. agents were exiting real estate in 2008
right.
because there was a crash. And so, yeah, I was able to just put my kids on the bus and send them to school. And I just parked myself in a real estate office. They would get off the bus, you know, where I worked. And so during those times while my kids were in school, I was working and just learning about the business and figuring it all out. And then what was interesting is the market turned.
Mm-hmm.
Foreclosures started flooding the market.
And you were there at the right time.
That's right. Wow. I was pounding the pavement as a new agent. And I just started working really mostly buyers I was representing, mm-hmm. you know, to help them find homes while renters were turning into homeowners at that time. So,
right.
Yeah. So that was an interesting change, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, I think the training of being a stay-at-home mom kind of trains you for everything. It's like full contact training for
it's
everything.
Boot camp
for people, really, know. People think, oh, they were just a stay-at-home mom. I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
right.
I don't know about you, but if you're a stay-at-home dad, like, give me 1 hour with the kids, I'm done. I don't know how that works.
You learn how to multitask.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And how to deal with people's problems.
Yes. Right. And negotiations.
Right? You're establishing yes. contracts. Like, if you eat your green beans, I will.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. My kids, they joke because when they were little and I was a stay-at-home mom, I would make them these little checklists to follow.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, and I laminated them. I put them on a clipboard and they would follow these checklists, you know, for the things they needed to do.
Right.
And my business completely revolves around checklists.
I was going to say, you brought that into your business.
Totally. So that was interesting.
That's fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
That's true. That is so great. I love it. Wow. So tell me, obviously it was a... like you said, a downturn in the economy and things like that. Mm-hmm. But also, did you sense like the Lord leading you into that direction?
Or
was that,
we did.
What did that look like?
For me, there were different people who spoke into my life mm-hmm. and told me, you know, we think that this is something you could do. And just praying about it and talking to my husband and deciding also, you know, my other alternative would be to go into like a 4-year college if I wanted to try mm-hmm. to, you know, mm-hmm. be able to establish a career. But this was actually just really, it was a logical, mm-hmm. it was like logic with prayer, I would say, that I knew I was not going to be able to just leave my family. I had responsibilities,
right?
But it was a way that I could do some online education. And also my husband was in the trades too. So he was able to give me a lot of tips that actually helped me in my business as well. So, it was kind of like, I would say, kind of like a folding of the hands, you mm-hmm. know, you've got your practical, you know, outline of what things need to look like in your life mm-hmm. while you're asking God, okay, lead me into this.
Well, it sounds to me like you brought several of the principles of the Lord into this thing. And that is, you know, obviously you were looking for some forms of counsel. It may have been with people that you normally counsel with, or it may have been like with your husband discussing it. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, that component of God principle. Then there's the component of like actually being together in a marriage and doing things, you know, in a unity and as the point of the Spirit with direction and purpose and leaning into it. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like major Christian Jesus values that go into, you know, that helped you guide you. Even it's interesting to me because a lot of times people like to try to divorce their businesses from Christianity.
Right.
And that's, I think, a horrible situation actually.
Right.
But because the principles of God, they work everywhere. They don't just work in church, you know, on Sunday morning or something or mm-hmm. Wednesday night. They actually work all the time, everywhere. And when we bring that kind of stewardship and directional, you know, heeding counsel, all of those things that are like Bible things,
right.
we bring that into our lives, we actually can be pretty successful, it sounds like, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It was surprisingly.
Well, then there's always the blessing of the Lord.
Totally,
right?
You know? He'll take you on these avenues you didn't think you were going to go
on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, something that you were saying that you got into it when things were downturning. Mm-hmm. And I think about that in our walk with God. A lot of times when things are downturning, people are leaving. Mm. And there's a different kind of a tenacious spirit in people when they're joining something when it's not looking pretty.
Right.
But it's like, it's not just going, you know, people want to jump on the bandwagon. Oh, we're going, we're blowing up. Or, yeah. Right. We're soaring. Right. Our church is growing and everybody's showing, you know, but the reality is if you're like, okay, well, it's not beautiful and perfect right now, but I'm going to bring that to this. And I think there's so many things to learn from your simple experience. Matter of fact, the other day you and I were discussing just briefly, and you had mentioned that we are in kind of a downturn now. Well, for a while we've been there in the real estate, right? Mm-hmm. And people jump ship then.
Right.
And that reminds me of this is the time you got in, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's so good because I know God really blessed you in this too. I mean, I think you became like one of our best realtors in the county. And, you know, it's just amazing to me because that talks of a person that's leaning in rather than bailing out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I had a good example too. There was someone else in our church who also was a real estate agent. Uh-huh. And I remember looking at her and it was like God was showing me, look at what she's done.
Yeah.
And she'd gone through like the all kinds of markets, you know, when you've gone up and down, and she was able to, you know, make it work for herself.
Yeah.
Right. She was a single woman and she was able to do that. And she was a great example to me too.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
That you had people to look at.
That's right.
And just
a good example.
Emulate. Wow. That's wonderful.
So I'm curious, how did it work? I know you're dropping the kids off at the bus, they're getting dropped off at work. Did they have to come work under the desk? Like, what was the, well, you know, it's a new family dynamic, right? With mom also working and dad working, or maybe, you know, dad not working as much and him taking more of the kids on and households. Like, talk about that.
Yeah, that definitely happened more. I actually was pretty big on being a professional. So I did not necessarily bring my children to the office. Mm-hmm. They did come there sometimes. But in general, I tried to make my appointments, you know, work around when I knew I was available. Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't, I also had the support of my mom who lived next door.
Yeah, grandma anointing.
Yes, so I had that when needed.
Down.
So she really helped out as needed. And then, of course, like you said, my husband had to come in. And I remember when I came home with my first paycheck and he looked at me differently. He was like, you can make money. It's like this light bulb came on in his mind.
Yes, that is so good.
It was. So anyway, yes, of course, he was very supportive. He helped with making dinners and things sometimes, So, and then we just had to ebb and flow with, tag teaming it with the kids.
Right.
That is.
But one thing I did love about real estate, this was the beauty of real estate, is that I never missed one of my kids' sporting events. Mm. You know, I was able to show up for them.
Wow.
And I loved that.
Yeah.
You know, and I was able to help in their classroom, and still do the things because God just was, he just helped me find a line of work that still met my mama heart desires, which was still to be
How
there
wonderful.
For my kids.
So good.
So yes.
Yeah.
So you made your kids happy and your husband happy all at the same time.
Well.
I love it. When you said that, I was thinking of the scripture. It says, whoso finds a wife finds a good thing, obtains the favor of the Lord. He's like, yeah, God.
Now we're talking.
Favor. Fulfill your word.
That's awesome. So speaking again at the kids, like maybe fast forwarding, your career is picking up. It's getting very busy.
Yeah.
Talk to us and everybody else listening about the work-life balance, the old work-life balance that everybody talks about.
Well, I think I could speak to that because I made the mistake sometimes of working too much.
Yeah, tell us about your mistakes.
Yes, I did not necessarily know at the time that it was happening. You kind of can get swept up in the wave of it. Mm-hmm. And later when my kids were adults, I remember having a conversation where my daughter said, I remember that time was a time we didn't see you very much. And that made me kind of sad, right? It makes you kind of check yourself and go, okay, I like missed it during that time, because they didn't think I was that present.
Now, let me ask you, because we're, you know, JT brought up, he's like, so tell me how the failure. So you're from you, it looks a little, you know, I'm sure it wasn't a total failure, but
of course,
what kind of advice would you give somebody to try to avoid that kind of a thing?
I think in general, I was still, you know, a member of the church and I was doing the church things, but I think that, you have to step back and examine your life and your heart. When you, feel that you are disconnecting, you know, and the fact of the matter is, I didn't really feel it, that I was disconnecting that much.
Wow.
So I would say you'd hope you'd have people in your life that were close to you.
Right.
That would bring that to your attention. Yeah.
But that really requires like opening the door to people to be able to say, hey, if you see something in my life that's off, and maybe even your children. Now, we understand children can be a little selfish at times, right? Especially when you're little. And so, you know, you have to take some of that with, you know, where it's at. But basically what you need is you need voices that you're willing to hear and not just trying to figure it all out on your own.
Right.
Because, like you're saying, you're juggling a lot of balls. Everything's going at once. And, you know, that you don't get to just, it's not like guys maybe go to work and then they can change jobs, you know, and that's great. But a mom who's a stay-at-home mom doesn't actually get to change that job completely. Like it doesn't just end. It just gets, something else gets added to it.
Yes.
Right. And so it seems to me like that's a delicate balance to have to deal with.
It is. And I do remember a specific time when my mom came to me. And I was working on Sundays a lot, you know, so she knew I wasn't like there, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember her being really concerned and it did make me step back and go, okay, hold on here, you know? Yeah. And we had a conversation about it too. Yeah. And it makes you remember, oh, okay, let's seek first the kingdom of God and make sure our priorities are straight, right?
Yeah.
We always, I mean, this is like a constant checking and balancing of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, maybe more so when you're in a job where you could work as much as you want to work.
Sure.
Right.
So I was in a time in real estate too, where there was a lot of business. And once I was already experienced, I could go after more.
Right.
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 So you could fill up all your time.
You could.
Yeah.
Completely. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes you're testing your limits to see what your capacity is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you could flip that as well and say, okay, what is my capacity to keep God first while I'm still working it?
That's really good. Yeah.
What a balance. That takes really some. Good. Yeah, you're right. That takes wisdom, seeking God, and listening to people around you when, you know, to have checks and balances in your life. That's not a bad thing. I think people could probably use that on every level, not just a mom that's becoming a realtor. I believe it's like on every area of life you can, it's easy to do that. I know I've owned my own business for, you know, 50 years and it's easy for it to consume you if you let it.
Right.
It's very easy because you know, they're always reaching out wanting you.
Yeah.
That's all. And you know, it's an
work on me.
Come on, work on you gotta have
and you want to transfer your excellence in business, right? Your excellence in doing everything, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's the scripture that says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart.
Yeah.
As unto the Lord. And that was a principle I brought into my business with me, thinking, you know, I am gonna put everything I am into this unto the Lord, you know. But the funny thing about like when you're making a lot of money. Yeah. Too, right? Riches are deceitful.
You think?
Just a little, right?
Just a little.
You don't realize, you know, it's like you don't even realize when there might be a transfer of trust, you know, as that builds, you know, especially when you're just starting out in a line of work and then all of a sudden it starts to increase.
Yeah.
You know, an increase. And it's like, oh, okay, now what am I trusting in? And I feel like there's this gauge of, there's a gauge of anxiety and stress that can be a little of an indicator that'll tell you, okay, wait a minute now.
Something's
what am I trusting in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, I'm really so glad we got you here today because if I was just thinking, if we covered nothing else, that one point you just brought up in the transparency, I believe helps someone out there. Like someone, if they're listening and they may find themselves, it may not be the exact condition. That's the one thing to remind people listening. But it may have a lot of the similar aspects. And if they could just hear what you're saying, you know, about riches can be deceptive, Mm-hmm. Right. It doesn't mean that they're all evil, only if you worship them,
right,
you know, or love them beyond everything else, but they can be deceptive at the same time. And that's a very, you know, I haven't heard anybody really say that just like that. It's like, it can lead you astray. It's not like, you know, just take you off completely, but all at once, but just that wooing away slowly. And I think it can come out of a soul that needs something, wants something, whether it's finances, accolades, you know, whatever it is, it can come on a lot of levels, by the way. And so it will lead you.
Yeah.
If you let it. Thank you for sharing that part. That I think super good. Someone gets that one. They got their money's worth today.
Let's see if we can give them a bonus on top of that.
Bonus time.
Julie, I wanted to ask you, you know, you've been in real estate a long time. You've worked with many people in the public, you know, and you're working with people all the time. I'm curious how the Lord has used you, where everything you've known in the Lord and have been brought up in and have given your life to, how has that come through in your business, your inner workings with people, and if there's any specific really cool moments?
Well, I actually just had a cool moment this last week where God brought somebody to me who wanted to look at a house. I was sharing this with you earlier, but, and she started dropping, you know, comments about the Lord. And I can always tell, it's like, okay, we're coming into a God moment here, right? This is not just about business anymore, because many times you'll have a connection with someone and it does not end up profiting your business at all, but it was a divine connection that you knew God put you together with this person, right? And they start sharing their heart with you. They start, you know, crying. We're sitting there, you know, at a house, and you're reminding people that, I just want you to know there's cameras on at this house. You're being listened to.
Right.
But, you know, even so, it's like wonderful when it turns into church at your business meeting. So that's a very cool thing. Cool. It's a bonus, and it blesses me.
Yeah.
And it brings you close to people in community, which I think is really important too, is that, you know, we are bringing church outside of the walls of the church.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good.
And so, and God brings that in community, and our faith so that we can all build up. Right. Secondarily, I would say, that in the industry of real estate, it's a really dog eat dog world out there. And you can have a lot of competition. There's a lot of different reasons different people come into that line of work. And training other agents and trying to point each other and encourage each other to work for the right reasons. You know, that's always going to bring the character traits that you learn from the Word, right? It's going to bring it about that we are going to love our neighbor, right? We're going to treat these other agents, you know, that we might be competing with the same respect that we would want to be treated with, right? And that's something you have to really work at sometimes in this business.
Right.
And it is wonderful when you can have a cooperative relationship with other agents, yet still both of you are working hard to promote your clients, because that's your job, is to promote your client's best interest. Nice. But you can still do that with dignity and with respect for all the other
good
parties.
That's
involved.
Really good.
That's really good.
So I wanted to ask your advice now, again, for everybody. If somebody was in business and you were wanted to give them advice about how to bring their Christ life into their work life. You know, how Dad was talking earlier, Pastor Bob was talking about that, like, that separation between, like, oh, this is my work life, this is my church life, this is my family life, and everything's kind of segmented. How do we allow that Christ life to just pour into that arena?
I think it is always, as you are meditating and you are contemplating, really, the Word of God, that you do apply that also to the area of your life of business. So there's lots of different areas of our life, whether it's our marriage, whether it's our ministry. But if you look at your job and your work as a ministry, it is an arm of who you are, right? And God can actually work through that vehicle of your business. And even just with your daily meditation of the Word, you can apply that to your business as well. Awesome. Whatever.
I so love that. Yeah, so like you said, I like the word you used that came to my mind also, in that our businesses should be a vehicle for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And how that comes out, doesn't have to be religious, and it doesn't have to be real preachy.
Right.
It does have to be present, and it has to have, you mentioned another thing, the character of the Lord, mm-hmm. and his precepts, his principles, how he operates, how he is. He does things justly, you know, he does things honestly, there's aspects of that where you can just bring God into people's lives all over. And sometimes people, I think they try too hard to separate their business from their Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, much like in the government, they're trying to separate church and state. Right. It's like, no, that's not the deal. The deal is it should be connected, because the church, if you will, I think they call it church, God, if you will, mm-hmm. He actually puts into our lives aspects of our life and character in our life and his precepts and principles that are, they really are designed to be in life and not be separated. Right. And you can spend a lot of energy trying to separate those things. Mm-hmm. And I think people actually do. But the reality is it's supposed to be integrated, and it's supposed to be fully compatible in so many ways, because it brings out the best.
Yeah.
Right.
The absolute best. And then whether you're successful, crazy successful in business, or you're struggling at times, that character of God still shines. Mm-hmm. And people look at that and they're ministered to, because in life people will have some issues. There will be downturns. Yeah. And if you're not leaning in and leaning on the character of God, when the winds blow and mm-hmm. you know, things start to go, right. You fall apart and you leave, or you can't hang in there anymore, or you stop discerning properly, and you stop making good decisions. You start relying on the flesh. You start doing the, you know, works of the flesh, you know, and that, so all of that comes in. But if you have God as your center there, as the best you can, I don't expect somebody to be absolutely perfect at this, although it sounds like you've been fairly successful. but if you just have him there and just leaning into him, great things happen in all this. It's so good. I hope we have people listening right now that they need. I know we have people listening right now. They need to hear this. They need to understand your heart in this and how you approach it, and that it's not perfect all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody has ups and downs in their life, and not perfect Christ-likeness going on all the time. Mm-hmm. But God, like, he sees us through that. That's why when we fall, we're not down for the count.
Right.
Right? Right. God, you know, we can go to God and he'll lift us up. He'll restore us. And I think that's a aspect of business that's a lot of times people so lost. You know, we were discussing earlier, like, people that we know where things didn't go right and they just gave up. Mm-hmm. So they didn't turn to counsel.
Right.
They didn't turn to friends. They didn't turn to people who would walk with them through it and give them good advice. And if they needed to change their business, which sometimes that happens too, they do it in a way that's godly, and they're not burning bridges behind them. And they're, you know what I'm saying? There's so much to business that's so God-centered.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I think too that something you said is, it's like the way that we define success,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like you have to redefine what success really means.
Yeah.
Even if you are, you know, saying you're going to, you know, change what you do for a living, mm-hmm. and, you know, put this business to rest.
Right.
You could do it with a feeling of success, mm-hmm. when you know, okay, that God's changing something, mm-hmm. in my life now. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily that this was a failure.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Absolutely.
And our measure of success is not what's in the bank account.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, some people would think that when God changed over from the Old Testament to the New, that the Old Testament was a failure. And we brought in the New Testament as a success. Mm-hmm. But in reality, is same God,
mm-hmm. yes,
same Jesus, mm-hmm. actually, in both, and it is a success, and he's showing you how to transition,
yeah,
mm-hmm. you know, from one thing to one step to the next,
yeah,
wow.
I love what you said about success. Just maybe as a final question, like, what? How do you? You were saying people should define success. How do you? Or how have you? What answer have you come to in the success question?
And it through the ups and the downs, I would say success is when I am doing a good job, whether I close the escrow or not, because I know that I have done my job and I have done it with integrity. I'm not a different person.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In this area of my life
right.
than I am in my business. Mm. You know, because we all are going to have
very
to be
good.
Able
That's
to,
really good.
To yeah. come and say, okay, am I
yeah.
letting Christ live through me in yeah. my business too? Mm.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that consistency. You have to be the same person wherever, or else you'll yeah. be a different person at home and a different person in the business, a different yeah. person at church, a different, it's rough.
Right.
You have those multiple personalities. They don't all work. You know, we have yeah. people that listen to this all over the world. You realize there's tens of millions of people. No. So I don't want you to be, I didn't want to tell you that early because I know you.
Hello, Belgium. Hello, Belgium.
England. I know hey, you're Netherlands. Listening. Yes.
But, Aussie.
Yeah. But I feel like you very much really help some people like, and they can take this and parlay it into so many aspects of their life, not just the business. And by the way, I just wanted to brag on Julie a little, you know, because Julie's actually one of our teachers yeah. here at our Spirit School of Ministry.
That's right.
And so along with mom and grandma, but you actually are have the ability to actually do that also. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot. And you sing and minister.
Yeah.
You know, someday if you should get one of Julie's albums, I guess. If ever makes one. Julie and her husband do great stuff.
We'll have you back on the podcast.
Yeah, okay. Having a bad album sing. But I did want to brag on you a little bit, but I just wanted yeah. and okay. thank you so much for just spending time. But actually, like I said, I think there were like nuggets in this that mm-hmm. people need to just take and go, okay, that's how it works. And, you know, if they have any questions, they could, you know, write us at the School of Ministry and mm-hmm. we'll pass them on to you, and then we'll pass the answers on to those cool. people. And just because I know you have experience in this.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah.
Man, great.
It's great having it's you fun. Here.
Great.
All right. Well, I guess this is where we end.
Yeah.
Or where we start, however you want to do it. We just, you know, thank you for joining today. Listen, you can be as successful as Julie and more. The reality is. But you need to incorporate those principles that she talked about
yeah.
and that we discussed and the character of the Lord. So, Father, we just close in prayer. We just thank you for the people listening and watching. We pray, Father, that your success would be upon their lives, Father, in every aspect of their life, that you would show them how to operate in every vehicle of life that they have, Father. And we just commit them into your hands. I pray that you bring favor into their lives and keep them, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, go to spiritschoolofministry.com.